Let's go on to number four. Each gift aids in perfecting the body of Christ. Now, each member of the body must function for the body to be complete. Some are unaware that they even have a gift. They never have given a public utterance. They've never interpreted or give a spiritual manifestation in public some way. And so they're unaware that they have a spiritual gift. But let me tell you, the Lord has a work for you to do that if it is not being done by you, then the body is incomplete. He's placed you in that body. He has given you the gift. He wants to use you and motivate you and bless you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Now, your gift is not a duplication of another. It's so easy to see someone with beautiful, developed, and gloriously used of God gifts, and we say, I want that gift, or I'd like for my gift to be like that. But each has his own particular ministry. Your gift is important. Oh, I would not like to have to choose between members of my own body. How about you? Which would you choose? Would you choose to give up an eye or the hearing of an ear? Which would you like to choose? Or if you had to lose one member, would you give up a hand or would you give up a foot? Why, you say to me, I don't want to give up either one. I don't want to give up an eye. My eye is important, but I would say you got another eye, so you really don't need it. No, no. That eye has its own job. It may have the same job as the other eye, but yet it can't complete the same job. The gifts are the same. The calling is the same, but both have their own particular ministry to that body. I need both eyes. I need both ears. I need both hands. I need both feet. Every gift is important. It is important. Your gift is important to the family. Your gift is important to the body of God, of Christ. So whatever you do, don't let the enemy of your soul cheat you out of your gift. It is the Lord's will that your gift aid in the perfecting of the body of Christ. He needs you. He needs your gift. Number five, God wants you to understand your gift. Now, Romans 12 and the seventh verse there tells us to wait upon our ministering. The Lord wants us to minister the way that he has helped us to minister. Verse 6 tells us to minister as he has given us the grace and for us to be active in our ministry. Now, God wants you to wait or to concentrate on our gifts. You've got to understand your gift before you can have full and free and understanding or full motivation the execution of your gift. It must come by first understanding. To wait or concentrate on your gift is important so you can discover and understand your gift. So we do need to understand our gift, and then we need to understand the gift of others. Now, again, your wife, your husband, your church, your pastor, you need to understand the gifts that God has placed in the body will help you understand them and help you understand their position in the body then as the Lord has placed them. Now, we really tend to expect everyone in the church to get excited about what we're excited about. I know people in the church that feel like that the only great ministry is the bus ministry. And if you're not going out on Saturday morning and ringing doorbells and inviting boys and girls to ride your Sunday school bus, you're really not very spiritual. Then I know others that could not do that. There's something about them that they cannot walk up to a house and ring a doorbell so instead of doing that, they spend their Saturday mornings at the church mowing the lawn, watering the grass, trimming the flowers, making it lovely, seeing that it's ready for the boys and girls who do ride the bus. Now, we really tend to expect everyone to be excited about what we're excited about, but God really wants us to be involved in what He wants us to do. Every part of our ministry is important. And just because that everyone is not involved in what you're doing does not mean that you're wrong. It means that you're doing what He has called you to do. That is your ministry. That is your gift. Now some may think that some gifts are not as important as others. But again, in the motivation gifts, I declare that they're all of equal importance in the motivation gifts. Now, there are other gifts, of course, that we do need to declare. I think the Bible speaks about desiring the best gifts. That, of course, is not speaking of motivation gifts. That's speaking of the manifestation gifts and the ministry gifts. But in the motivation gifts, all of these are important. Teaching may seem more glamorous than serving, but each are of equal importance. Again, do you want to lose your eye or the hearing of an ear? If you're going to give up one, would you like to give up your hand or a foot? Well, you say to me, well, my hand is important, my foot is important. They're of equal importance. I don't want to give up either one. So is the members of the Lord's body. Each are of equal importance. All are the best gifts when we come to these motivation gifts. Now, there are bus workers in our family, in our church, that come on Saturday, and they gas up the buses, and they check the oil, and they check the antifreeze. And then there are the nursery attendants that never are on the platform. Their name is hardly ever in the bulletin. And you never hear much about the nursery attendants. You never do see much said about the choir rehearsals or the janitors, those who come in and vacuum the floors and shine the windows and dust the furniture and make it beautiful. But friend, let me tell you, they are all important. The person who stands on the platform and does the preaching, his is only the tip of the iceberg. The whole undergirding ministry of the church, done by those who are doing their part in the body, who are exercising their gift, brings about what the Lord would have us to have, a complete flowing, intermeshing spirit of the Lord into a mighty outreach for God. Again, the bus workers, those who check the oil and the gas, are doing their part of winning that boy and girl to the Lord who gives their heart to the Lord at the front of the church. So everybody is of equal importance. And don't underestimate your gift. It is important. And the Lord wants you to know it. He wants you to understand it. He wants you to wait upon your gift and concentrate on it so that He might use you for greater glory yet. Now to number 6, we see that there are 3 distinct categories of spiritual gifts. And if you would like to read with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, you will find these words, and I'm reading again from my New American Standard Bible. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 goes on to say, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. All right? You will notice here that it is talking about the different categories of gifts, and we will spend a few moments giving you definitions. And you will notice there on your notes you have room to write a definition for each of these, and then we will go into them and list them in just a moment. Under A, motivation gift, there you will notice and verse 4 that we just read to you. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. I believe this is talking about the motivation gifts of the Spirit. Now, for your information, here is the definition for the motivation gifts. It is the basic inward drive which God places in us to express His love. Again, the basic inward drive which God places in us to express His love. Our basic motivation gift. Then the ministry gift. You will notice in verse 5 that we read you in 1 Corinthians 12, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. So it is the Lord's will that we do have ministry varieties as well as varieties of gifts. So the gifts, the ministry gifts, are easy for us to declare and find also. Let me give you the definition so that you might write this down. The ministry gift, the definition for these is simply this: the opportunities of Christian service which are open to us for the exercise of our basic motivational gift. Again, the ministry gift is the opportunities of Christian service which are open to us for the exercise of our basic motivational gift. And then the third category of spiritual gifts that we're going to be dealing with in these lessons are the manifestation gifts. And of course, verse 6 refers to them in 2 Corinthians 12, or 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." So right there we find the basic motivation gifts, the motivation ministries or the ministry gifts, and then the manifestation or effects that the Holy Spirit would bring about. And the manifestation gifts, the definition for these gifts is this: the actual demonstration of the Holy Spirit through our lives as the needs of others are determined by the Holy Spirit. The actual demonstration of the Holy Spirit through our lives as the needs of others are determined by the Holy Spirit. Then you will notice the listings of the gifts in the Scripture. This is the authority that we take from them. And number 7 on your notes gives the listings in Scripture of each of these gifts. And we will be looking into them further. The motivation gifts, let me turn and read them if I may. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy..." Number 1, prophecy, all right. It says, if prophecy, speaking of the gift of prophecy, it goes on to say, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, number 2, is service, in his serving, or he who teaches in teaching, number 3 is teaching, he who exhorts, number 4 is exhortation or exhorting. And it goes on to say, in he who gives, number 5 is the gift of giving. It says, do it with liberality. And he who leads, this is the gift of leading, or ruling, or administration. That's a gift number 6. And then he who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. So there they are, taken right out of the Bible, these 7 motivation gifts. And then the ministry gifts are found in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to turn back there to that scripture, and look at verse 27 through 31, the rest of the chapter, and it tells about the ministry gifts. May I share them with you? "Now, you who are of Christ's body, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church..." Now, these are gifts God has given the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, and then gifts of healings, then helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Again, this is talking about these ministry gifts. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you still a more excellent way. So the Lord says he would show us still a more excellent way. 10 ministry gifts. Those are part of them. The rest are found in Ephesians chapter 4. And don't get uneasy about the part about all do not speak in tongues and so on. We will cover all of that in our studies. So just keep all of your questions handy, and we will answer them before we finish our study here on the gifts. All right, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. We will find, and 13, we will find the rest of the ministry gifts. And here's what we find. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So you will notice the complete 10 ministry gifts, and we're only listing them for you. We will come back and define them, each one, for you. Then as we look to C, under number 7, the manifestation gift, we see that the manifestation gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. But to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. For to one is given the Spirit of wisdom. Excuse me. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the effecting of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the distinguishing of spirits, or discerning, as some of the scripture says, discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. So we find there the listings of the 9 manifestation gifts. So we now are looking at, let's see, 7 motivation gifts, 10 ministry gifts, and 9 manifestation gifts. Oh boy, are you ready? Let's get into them. Let's find out what they really are. Let's start first with the 7 motivation gifts. Number 8 in your notes there, page 2 of Understanding Your Spiritual Gift. Let us look at the list of the 7 motivation gifts. You will notice there from Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it talks about, again, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, the gift of prophecy. Now, what I would like to do, I would like to share with you a thumbnail definition, just a little bit of definition of these 7 gifts, and then we will come back and fully dissect them and explain them in the rest of our studies together. But the motivation gift of prophecy is this, and here is my definition, and I believe that it is the correct one. The definition of the gift of prophecy there found in verse 6 is the motivation to reveal unrighteous motives by presenting God's truth. Now, you will notice I did not say that the gift of prophecy is revealing the future. Let me give you again what we believe the definition from the principles of God's Word is. Again, the gift of prophecy is the motivation to reveal in righteous motives by presenting or declaring God's truth. Now, there are several special abilities of those who have the gift of prophecy. One is that they, most of the time, will be very persuasive in their speaking abilities. They are able to persuade people, maybe not speaking to large groups, maybe only one-on-one, but they are very persuasive in their speaking. Also, one of the special abilities of those who have the gift of prophecy, this motivation gift of prophecy, you will notice there are ministry gifts of prophecy and manifestation gifts also of prophecy. We're dealing now with only the motivation gift of prophecy. Again, one of the special abilities of these people is to bring to light things which have been concealed, light where others cannot see. A person with this gift of prophecy can many times show people that are unable to find the truth. They're able to show the truth and reveal the truth of the Lord to them. Also, the people who have this motivation gift have the ability to reveal secrets in the heart of people and to lead them to God. Many times they're able to show them, people, what is really down in their heart, and therefore encouraging them to find the Lord and to walk closer to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 23, 24, and 25, deal with this motivation gift, and the motivation gift of prophecy. Let me read it to you. If therefore the whole church should assemble together and all speak with tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, and they not say that you're mad, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, so that he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. So we do know that a person with the gift, the motivation gift of prophecy, is able to reveal the secrets in the heart of people. Now, if you'll turn back to Romans 12, where we found these seven basic motivation gifts, you will notice that after we concluded with verse 8, that the rest of the chapter goes on, and the secret of this chapter, I believe, is the rest of the chapter explains the first 8 verses, explains the motivation gifts. So if you will notice that not only does verse 6 refer to the motivation gift, I believe also verse 9 does. And I would like to read verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." So the person with the gift of the motivation gift of prophecy must be one that speaks without hypocrisy and abhors that which is evil, declares God's truth, and does it in love. Now, there are also abuses to all of these spiritual gifts, and one of these abuses that are very, very plain to see that we must be on guard for is the tend to be proud of the ability. In fact, you're going to find that I will warn on all of these gifts that one of the major abuses is pride. The enemy of our soul always wants to bring in pride. We must always be on guard that we tend to be proud. And a person with the gift of prophecy might be proud of their ability to persuade people. Also, the abuses are that they tend to be reliant on this ability instead of the Holy Spirit's conviction. Now, we need to know that when the Spirit of prophecy does flow through a person, it should remind them of their own inadequateness and not to be built up in their own ability. And then one of the other abuses of the gift of prophecy is the person who might have this gift has a tendency to see people as groups rather than as individuals. It's a tendency to think about classes or congregations and not necessarily as individuals. All right, let's go on. Number B, serving. The gift of serving is found in verse 7 there in Romans 12. If service in his serving, the gift of serving, let me give you the thumbnail definition. The gift of serving is the motivation to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. Again, the motivation to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. A person with the gift of serving loves to do things for others. Now, there are special abilities given to the person with the gift of serving. One is they have a tendency to detect needs in others. They are sensitive to needs when others may not even sense that a person would have a need. A person with a gift of serving many times can detect that need before even words are said. Then also, a special ability to the one with the motivation gift of serving is that they often overlook their own discomfort for the privilege of meeting needs of others. They will themselves be willing to suffer to see that your needs are met so that you can be blessed. And then again, the last half of the chapter refers to the first half. Verse 10 refers to verse 7. Verse 7, of course, in serving, verse 10 brings out a further clarification. It says, be devoted to one another and brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. So the person who has the gift of serving, the motivation gift of serving, is one who is devoted to one another in brotherly love, and one who enjoys giving honor and preference to others, serving others. And the fact they don't even care sometimes if others seem to get most of the credit for their good deeds. They really are not doing it for praise, for public attention. They're doing it so that others might be blessed and even honored. Now, there are abuses to this gift, and you must be on guard if yours is the gift of serving. One, again, is pride. Pride in the good deeds. Pride is a danger in all of the gifts. And this, of course, we must always guard on. Then number two, another abuse is danger of being too pushy. The person who has a tendency to detect needs in others sometimes will act too quickly. They've even been known to seek to meet the need of another person before the other person even knows they have that need. And as a danger, they begin to be a little pushy at times, or at least thought of being too pushy, acting too quickly, seeing a need and jumping in to serve, even before that it is God's time and God's place. This is a danger. Another abuse is the possibility of becoming bitter when your serving is not appreciated and not accepted. You seem to do all the work and no one ever notices. And this is something that the enemy would like to whisper in your ear and says, no one notices, no one appreciates you. But if yours is the gift of serving, do not let him tell you that. Know that the Lord knows, and that's what counts. And then another abuse is that you might overlook spiritual needs in someone's life to meet physical needs. Now, there are many places in the Bible we can find, these are Bible principles, and if we would take the time, we could really nail each one of them very solid for you. But very quickly, let me sidetrack a little, reminding you of Mary and Martha. You remember the two ladies, friends of Jesus in the Bible. And when Jesus had come back to their home, some things were happening. I believe that Mary had the gift of serving. Mary's motivation gift was serving. She was cooking, she was preparing, she was fixing things, and there was Martha. Martha was loving Jesus. Martha was bathing Jesus' feet. Martha was worshiping Jesus. She was hanging on every word. She was drawing out from him the principles of life. And so Mary came and said, "Lord, don't you even care that Martha has left me to do all the work?" Well, again, it's easy to get bitter that what you're doing is not appreciated, or maybe others are not helping you that should be. And Jesus, I thought, came with a beautiful word of wisdom when he said that Martha has chosen that good thing, and it shall not be taken away from her. He said, "Mary, you're taken with many things, and you're doing many things, but Martha has chosen the best, the good thing." Now, it was not Martha's gift of serving, of course. Her gift must have been one of a special praise or worship. It may have been prophecy or one of the others. But Mary's gift was the gift of meeting physical needs. And sometimes you can overlook spiritual needs because you're too busy meeting physical needs. That's what Mary did. And the Lord rebuked her and said, "Martha has chosen the really good thing, the best thing." And then as we look at C, the gift of teaching, we see it in verse 7 also and of Romans chapter 12. It says, "Or he who teaches in his teaching," the motivation gift of teaching. Here is the thumbnail definition. The gift of teaching is the motivation to search out and to validate truth and then present it. Some would say it's even to clarify truth. Let me give it again. The motivation to search out and validate truth and then present it. Special abilities with the person that has the gift of teaching. They enjoy research and study. The person who has this gift loves to study. They enjoy getting into the deep things of the Word, maybe even insignificant little truths that they love to dig out. They will sit up all night studying for an hour-long Sunday school class. They love to study. Now, verse 11 in the same chapter refers to this gift. Again, the last of the chapter clarifies the first of the chapter. Verse 11 refers to verse 7 here, the gift of teaching. Verse 11 says, "Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So a person with a gift of teaching loves, they're not lagging behind in diligence. They will sit up and study and miss sleep, and they dig into the Word, and they're fervent in spirit, and they love to serve the Lord in this manner. Now, there are abuses to be on guard for with a gift of teaching. Again, pride of knowledge that you've accumulated, pride at what you know. That is, again, something to always be on guard in each of these gifts. Then also, you must be on guard for the tendency to concentrate on details of important information rather than on the principles of life or salvation. It's so easy for a person with the gift of teaching to be motivated to dig for insignificant details and not really concentrate on the principles that the Bible's trying to teach. For instance, crossing the Red Sea. The children of Israel, as they crossed the Red Sea, it's really not important how deep the water was or how many horses that were drowned or any of that or who trained the horses. That's not important. The important part was what kind of principle is God trying to teach us in the relating of the crossing of the Red Sea in the Bible. So a person must be on guard for the tendency of concentrating on minute details rather than the principles, the greater principles of life. Also, a person with the gift of teaching many times is more concerned in research than in the response of the students. I have pastored several years. In fact, one church I pastored was between two of the largest seminaries in the whole Southwest in Fort Worth, Texas. And my church was the seminary, South Church, right down from the big seminary there in southern Fort Worth, in South Fort Worth, close to the Southwestern Theological Seminary and also close to Bright Divinity School, TCU. And often I had seminary students in my church. Many of them I was not able to use them as teachers in my Sunday school because they were more concerned with the research than with the response of the students. In fact, it was a possibility that they would be so excited about one little quirk that they found in the Greek or one little passage or maybe some quote of some 19th century German theologian that the common person, the ordinary person working today, carrying a lunch pail to work, pushing a clock when they would get there, they were really not interested in the original Greek or the minute details. They really wanted something that was that they could take to work along with their lunch pail the next day. So a person with the gift of teaching must be on guard that you're not more concerned in the research into details than you are into sharing the principles of life that God has planned for each person involved. Let us look at D, exhortation. The gift of exhortation is found in verse 8 of Romans chapter 12. And it says, he who exhorts in his exhortation. All right, the thumbnail definition for the gift of exhortation is the motivation to stimulate the faith of others. Again, the motivation to stimulate the faith of others or to help them to develop their ability to believe. And this is a beautiful gift. I think a lot of pastors have asked, Lord, I sure hope that my gift is the gift of exhortation. And when I went personally into my study to find out what my motivation gift is, I wanted so much it to be the gift of exhortation. And so disappointed was I when I found out this was not the gift that the Lord had given to me. Now, before you get too far ahead of me, I will remind you and I will tell you, and we will get back to it, that all seven of these ministries must be in the well-rounded Christian. Every Christian should have the fulfillment of all of these gifts flowing through them. Of course, giving and serving and exhortation and teaching, all of this can be done. Mercy, loving, all of these can be done by and should be done by all Christians, but with a person having one main motivation gift, I sure wanted mine to be this one, helping people to believe, exhorting them to faith. But that was not really the gift that the Lord gave me. Now, special abilities along with this gift is such as this. Now, you can help another pursue another course of conduct or assist someone. They've started out, they're in one direction and they're finding problems. A person with a gift of exhortation can help them to see it and visualize it and change their course and find a better course of conduct. A person with a gift of exhortation loves to counsel. They love one-on-one counseling. They enjoy talking on the telephone. I knew right then that wasn't my gift when I found that out. I don't like to talk on the telephone. And heavy one-on-one counseling isn't what motivates me. And I was so disappointed when I found out. But the person with the gift of exhortation not only loves to counsel, but they love to know each detail. They want to know all of the details. They want to ask you many questions and put together a whole package of information before that they exhort you to make the change of course. And now again, that I knew that wasn't my gift because I am naturally not very nosy. I just soon not to know the details of your private life. But the person with the gift of exhortation needs to know and wants to know what each detail is. Now, verse 12 in this chapter refers to this gift. Refers to verse 8. Again, the last half of the chapter refers to the first half. So we go back to Romans 12. Verse 8, of course, is where we find the gift of exhortation. Verse 12 refers to it, clarifies it. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation and devoted to prayer. The person with the gift of exhortation is one who rejoices in hope, can see the light at the end of the tunnel, can help you and guide you through your tribulation time. And person with this gift will pray for you and love you and hold you up. And how beautiful this is. Rejoice and hope and patience and persistence in prayer. No wonder we all would love to have the main motivation gift of exhortation. However, there are some abuses that we must guard against. Number one, pride. Again, all of these gifts, you must be aware that the devil wants to bring pride. Pride because that you took someone that was weak and made them strong. You found someone in trouble and directed them and helped them find the answers so that they were made happy and delightful Christians, all right? And then another abuse is you must guard against discouragement when someone is slow to respond. When you've helped and when you've exhorted and when you have ministered and you have loved and you have prayed for and you spent hours and hours and hours in counseling and they haven't taken your advice and they keep getting themselves in trouble and they're slow to respond. Well, this is one of the tendencies, the tendency to become discouraged. So guard against that. And also another abuse is that you need to guard against using this ability for personal motives or gain. It'd be so easy to take someone and develop them into success and then want to use them as an employee or something like that. These gifts are never given for personal gain, friend. They are given for the uplifting and the edification of the entire body, and never are to be used for personal motives or gain. Then also another abuse is you need to guard against spending too much time with those who do not want a permanent solution, but just a release from a problem that is there for the moment. A person with the gift of exhortation is taken advantage of so many times. People take advantage of them. They come asking for help, not really wanting the permanent solution, but just wanting release from the problem that they're in at the moment. And they're not looking for a long-time, life-changing answers and things that will help them find the way they should live from then on, but they're just wanting out of the trouble that they're into. And so the person with the gift of exhortation needs to be on guard that the person that they are counseling is not just trying to find some help through an immediate problem, but that are reaching on for greater help and for a permanent solution. As you look at E on your notes, the gift of giving, we find it again in Romans 12, verse 8. As we look past the one who exhorts, then it goes on to say, he who gives with liberality, the gift of giving. Here's the thumbnail definition. The motivation gift of giving is the motivation to entrust personal assets to others for the furtherance of their ministry. Again, the motivation to entrust personal assets to others for the furtherance of their ministry. Person with this gift is free to give to others, to other ministries, to other people, to see their ministry blessed. Now, the special abilities for the person who has the motivation gift of giving. One is that this is a gift that God gives the people. It's a God-given gift. It's a good gift. I think we all would desire the motivation gift of giving. What a beautiful gift that is, and how delightful to be able to share and to give to others in great numbers and great amounts. And most of us, you know, would not choose the gift of serving or the gift of mercy, but most of us would choose indeed the gift of giving if we got the choice, I believe. Because this person is blessed with an unusual business ability. A person with the gift of giving is blessed with a very unusual business ability. They're able to earn more money than they themselves need. They are able to earn enough money that they have plenty for themselves and plenty to share with others. Isn't that great? We all would love to have that gift. And then this person also is able to organize his assets to make a profit. Seems to have the ability to turn everything into gold, to take a business that's down and make a good one out of it, or to take a hobby and make a profitable business, or other things such as that. And also the person with the gift of giving can think quickly and act suddenly to respond to the needs of others. They quickly can size up the situation and act upon meeting the needs of others. They don't have to ponder or debate over a need. They just respond very quickly. And they often can't understand those who are very cautious and don't give until they know all of the answers and research everything. But the person with the gift of giving, they can see clearly and quickly what the need is, as the need is shared with them, and respond quickly. Now, verse 13 here in Romans 12 refers to this gift. Again, verse 13 describes verse 8. And verse 13, referring to the giving, says, contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. The person who has the gift of giving knows and loves to contribute to the needs of the saints, and they love to practice hospitality. They love to see company and take people to eat and things like that. And they just must give freely to the needs of the body, and they also have an interest in strangers. That's what the word hospitality actually meant there, is taking in strangers, meeting needs of strangers, those who are away from home or not of that area. Now, the person with the gift of giving would not stop their car and pick up a hitchhiker and give him money to blow. The gift of giving would not do that. He wouldn't stop, pick up a hitchhiker, and lay $100 bill on him for him to go out and spend for wine or something. But the person with the gift of giving is sensitive to the needs of missionaries, ministries, and ministers, and others that are in need. Even though they may not be from their local body, from the local church, maybe people that are in need of hospitality, the person with the gift of giving is one who will minister to those who are traveling, missionaries, evangelists, and traveling ministers a lot. Then also, there are abuses to be on guard for. If yours is the gift of giving, you must be very aware of all of the abuses. Of course, the first possible abuse is the old ugly sin called pride. We've nailed that one down on everyone, haven't we? And this, of course, is a danger. The danger of becoming proud of his giving, proud of the amount, or proud of who they have given to. So this is one of the things to guard against always. Then another abuse is measuring spiritual success by material assets. Now, some people think that with the gift of giving would think that one is spiritual because he has money. And yet there are many people who are rich and do not love God. And yet there are that are spiritual and are not blessed with great amounts of money. And because a person does not have money does not mean they're not spiritual. Some are not rich, and yet they love the Lord greatly. So a person with the gift of giving receives money so easily, and they are aware that it is given by the Lord, and they figure that someone else who is not blessed the same way might not be quite as spiritual. But this is not the Lord's plan, and this is not true. So if this is your gift, be on guard for that attitude. Then there's another danger, and that is overlooking long-range goals for the sake of meeting immediate needs. The people in my church, in my congregation, that have the gift of giving, they want to respond to immediate need. Someone comes through that needs some help. They'd like to raise thousands of dollars, and let's help them. They're building a church in Timbuktu, so All they need is $10,000 to finish the roof of that new church. Well, let's do it. And they may not see that the pastor knows that next week we have a $10,000 bill coming up for insurance on our own church, our payment on the church mortgage or something like that. And perhaps that isn't a very good illustration, because I believe that the Lord will bless us as we give to missionaries, as we give to spread his gospel across the world, and as we give to other ministries, God will bless us. And I believe that it is wrong for us to say we have need so we can't help anyone else. I believe that is wrong. But the Lord does want us to not overlook long-range goals for the sake of just meeting immediate needs. Now, one who has the gift of giving rarely sees the big picture. At least at times, anyway, they may not see the whole picture. It's hard to see the full scope for them, the complete circle of vision. They see the immediate need, let's meet it. That's the way they feel. But they need to be on guard to see the full ministry, not just the one need, but the full ministry need and the full scope. All right, shall we look at F, the gift of ruling, leading, or organizing, or the gift of administration. That's found in verse 8. Romans 12, and it goes on to say, he who leads with diligence. The thumbnail definition is like this. The person with the motivation gift of ruling has the motivation to coordinate the activities of others for the achievement of common goals. The motivation to coordinate the activities of others for the achievement of common goals. The gift of leading or ruling or organizing or administration. All of these words are synonymous and are correct in referring to this gift. Now, the person who has the special gift of leading or ruling, they have many special abilities. One is that they do see the big picture. They recognize what has to be done to get achievement. They like to look at the overall. They like to look at the intricacies of the church or the ministry or the outreach. And they have special abilities to see the intricacies and the problems and the possibilities. People with this gift also are able to preside over meetings and lead others. They are a natural leader. They like to lead and can lead others, and they can preside over meetings and direct deliberations. They also have the ability to chart a course and to direct others in achieving the needed and the goals that are set before them. They also can see and distinguish major objectives from minor ones. They are able to see what is really important and what is not. They also have the tendency to put into words and explain the major objectives. They're able to help you visualize the objectives that are important. They can put into words and help you to see and help others to see or to visualize this vision. They can share their vision with others and cause others to have the same vision they have. And this gift, also, they are able to see the inner and the outer workings of the work of God. Oh, the gift of ruling is a beautiful gift, is it not? Verse 14 in Romans 12 also refers to this gift. And refers to the gift there found in verse 8. Verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, Paul is saying here that the person that is the leader will be persecuted. Paul is saying that the person who breaks away from the crowd will be the one everyone criticizes. The one out in front gets the most criticism. And Paul said that they would. He said, now, bless those who persecute you. Wow, the person with the gift of ruling is going to be persecuted, Paul is saying here. And he tells him how he must respond to this. They're to bless those and not to curse, not to defend themselves, not to take over their own reins. Now, Moses is a good illustration, all right? Now, He went and he met Pharaoh, and he convinced him to give away the slaves. He talked, and with God's help, of course, Egypt into allowing all of the slaves to leave and return back to the land of Israel. And yet Moses was criticized. Moses' very own people criticized him. He seemed to be where he couldn't please others. In fact, one time when they were complaining about not having water, and they were saying, "You brought us out here to die, and you brought us out here to starve to death," he even lost his temper. The Lord told him to speak to the rock, and the water would come forth, and he called the people a generation of rebels, and some other things. And he grabbed his rod and hit the rock. He struck the rock rather than speaking to it. He lost his temper, and yet Moses still prayed. He prayed for the people that criticized him. He asked God to kill him and not let him go into the promised land if he wasn't going to let the others go. He loved them. He was a good leader. He did never become vindictive and take vengeance into his own hands. And so the person who is the leader must bless those who hurt them. And they must live by the scriptural principle of overcoming evil with good. Now, there's some dangers. There's some abuses, of course. Again, pride. We have to watch out for pride. Power over others and pride and abilities that gives us power over others is a danger you must guard against. Another is that a person with this gift can be tempted to use people to meet his goals rather than just ministering. The person that is a natural leader has a tendency to use people, and that is not God's plan. God wants them, of course, to minister and to work with and not be using people. So you must be on guard. And then there's a tendency to overlook character flaws in people that he can use. A person with the gift, with this gift of ruling, has a tendency to say, "Oh, well, okay, they've had some problems in their life, but look at their abilities." And instead of looking at the character flaws that would render them incapable of being used of the Lord, they sometimes overlook it. The person with the gift of ruling is very project-oriented, very much into the project, getting the work done, accomplishing the goals, very project-oriented, might even hurt people, might even step on folks, might even wound somebody, not looking at the individual, but looking at the project and the success of the goal of accomplishing what is set out. All right, if we go on, we look at the seventh one, the G on your notes, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is found in verse 8 again. "And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And this is the gift of mercy, which I can speak quite well about, because I was so disappointed when I went into my search to examine to see what my motivation gift was, to define it was the gift of mercy. And so as I talk to you about the gift of mercy, I am explaining that which I feel is my personal motivation gift. Now, I'm telling you to know what your gift is. I must know what mine is. Now, let me give you the definition for the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is the motivation to identify with and comfort those who are in distress. The motivation to identify with and comfort those who are in distress. The person who has the motivation gift of mercy has the special ability of being able to relate to and to identify with those who are in trouble. A person with a gift of mercy can identify real trouble. A person with this gift knows quite instinctively if someone is wanting a handout and insincere and not really in need, but that is doing a con job on them. All right, they are able to identify and to relate then to these people. And then they feel like they must go and comfort and help them.